realized that I didn't like cooking for that many people. And but no, I did. I was trying to. I went to some culinary art shows and stuff, and didn't do too well. I think the best I've got was last place. So I did a little bit better than that. But I thank God for my experiences in life. I thank God for your preacher. I really do. He's been a good friend to me. And the first time I ever really got a chance to be around him was down in Barstow, California, when he was preaching for Pastor Hampton. And I just saw his seriousness at the altar in prayer time and things. And he prayed with me at the altar that day. And I was just so thankful that somebody like him, and I really mean that, I believe he's one of our giants in the faith, would come and pray with me and encourage me and help me. Didn't even know me. That was the first time he ever really got close to me. And he prayed with me. And I just thank God for that. And he's been just a good friend ever since. I've tried to be a friend to him in some way, probably not as well as he's been to me. But I just thank God for him. Thank God for this church. I remember the first time, again, I came over here to this church. It was to bring some ladies for a ladies' conference. And I don't even know how many years ago that was. But all I know is this, is that when the end came back then, it's changed a little bit now, but when it got to the end, I learned leave. Because he was trying to auction off stuff, and he couldn't get the auction going. And I think I twitched back there or something. He said, $35 from Brother Robinson. And I was like, what did I just buy? And we took a chair home with us that day. He told me, he said, you don't have to take it. I said, no, I'm taking this chair right here. And we actually, I don't know what you do with some of the stuff you get here, but we used that chair till it fell apart. It was only about an hour after we got home. But no, I'm only kidding. Only kidding. No, we used it for a number of years. And I thank God again for just getting to be around your preacher. He's serious. But he knows how to have fun. And if you're slow like I am, the best thing for you to do is say, go ahead on. Just let him go ahead of you, because once he gets rolling, you're not going to keep up with him. That's for sure. And but I thank God for him. Again, it's my wife right here, 43 years. I thank God for her. And she's been with me. Yes, thank you. For her, thank you. And we're getting ready to celebrate 44 coming up here. Real quickly here in March. And after all of these years, I have to remember that, because they didn't send in our certificate, marriage certificate, until April. And they put April down. And then I was saying, I didn't get married in April, or did I? I don't know. It's been a long time, this whole month. It seemed like years after a month. But no, I'm only kidding. Now it's just, it seems like it's so short. That we've been together and stuff. But so you know, this year I'll be up and come in December. It's a while away, but I've been pastoring for 35 years now. And thank God for that. Yeah. Been doing it in a couple places, but what a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. I try to tell you young people here, I almost didn't get to do what God wanted me to do. But I'm so glad that God gave me a second chance. And some of you know about a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. And that's what God has done for me. I want you to take your Bible. I don't have a whole lot I want to say to you. And when I say that, I just want to tell you what thus says the Lord, so we can move on. And go to the book of Job, if you don't mind. Job chapter number 19. Job chapter number 19. Job 19. I didn't come here to correct anything. I didn't come here to criticize anything. I did not come here to take and cause you any heartburn. I came to do, I hopefully, what the preacher said. And when you said that, brother, he said he left us another comforter. And I was saying, I'm not the Holy Ghost, but I sure hope I can comfort a little bit today. Sure hope I can bring you just a little bit of peace in the midst of your storms. And most of you know Job. And so Job 19, if you got it, go ahead and stand if you don't mind. Job chapter 19, and we'll go to verse number 23. Job 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Father, would you bless now? Would you help? Would you encourage? Would you comfort, has already been said. We, of course, need the true comforter to show up here. And, of course, according to my word, those who are saved, he's with us. And sometimes we just don't feel him. And I just hope today you would help us just a little bit. And we give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And if someone here is not saved, dear God, help them understand they don't have to go through life by themselves. They can, of course, have the same comforter that we have. They can know the same Redeemer that those of us that are saved knows. And just pray today, God, that this will be the day that their life will be changed for all eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated if you don't mind. Go ahead and be seated. I want you to understand that sometimes life gets hard. And you say, preacher, we know that. No, I'm telling you, I understand that life gets hard. Sometimes we preachers, of course, we preach, get right with God, and you need to stay faithful. And you know, we say a lot of things, and we need to say those things. But today I come to let you know that I want you to understand that I know that every once in a while you feel like giving up. Sometimes you want to faint and you just want to fall out and you just want to say, dear God, I can't find you right now. Where are you at? Matter of fact, if you go over to chapter 23, you'll find that Job is saying a lot of stuff. God, I can't find you. If I could just find you, dear God, we can straighten this mess out. We can figure out what I need to do so that we can ease this burden, ease this load, but I can't find you. Another thing that Job tells us over there and tells us throughout the book of Job, not only can I find you, but I can't feel you. You know, there's a song when I was growing up, and it was called a song, God's Not Dead, He's Still Alive. Why? Because I feel him in my hands, and I can feel him in my feet, and I can feel him all over me. But sometimes you can't feel God. Every once in a while, you're saying, God, I'm looking for you. You told me if I seek for you, if I search for you, I'll find you. You told me to do it early, and that's what I've been doing, dear God, but I can't find you. God, I can't feel you right now. Dear God, it feels like you've forsaken me. And I understand what that feels like. But here's the thing about it. I know that I've forsaken God. I know that I've given God a feeling that I don't care about him anymore. And I know every once in a while God is saying, I can't find you in my service. But here's the great thing about God. He's still a faithful God to us. Amen. I'm so glad. Even when I go through what I go through, do what I do, act the way that I act, I still got a God who is faithful to me. So, preacher, what is he trying to tell us today? Our subject today is this here. My Redeemer liveth. Somebody say amen. My Redeemer liveth. Why do we need to know all of that? We need to know all of that because, again, all the stuff that we go through. When you look at Job, of course, God talks about Job being nobody like him. He's only one of a kind. Nobody upon the earth like him. One that feareth God escheweth evil. Nobody upon the earth like him. Now, let me help you with something here. Even this man had to go through. I know in this church there's a lot of good people. Matter of fact, I love coming here because of all of the wonderful people in this church. I love coming here because of all the people who are out soul winning and the people who are trying to live the life and even the young people who want to grow up and serve the Lord, go to Bible college and all those sort of things. But let me tell you something here. It doesn't matter how long you serve, how deeply you get involved. It doesn't matter how devoted you are. Every once in a while, you're going to have some problems. And you got to know who it is that's on your side. You know what Job said? Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he lived. By the way, ETH, he lives on and on and on and on and on and on and on. God hasn't died. Amen. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that good to God said is alive, and he's alive for evermore. Amen. And God's saying, I need you to understand something, though. You need something to hold on to when the hard times come. You need something to hold on to when you're having these difficult moments. And here's what Job does for us, just by way of introduction, if you don't mind. First of all, Job lets us know how important God's word is to us. He lets us know how important it is. Now, again, Job didn't know all what we know. We know that all scripture has been given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But also, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Job said this in verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Job, I got some news for you. They have been written and they are printed in a book. Somebody say amen. Man, we've got the word of God. The word of God that God is trying to teach us today. When it comes to his word, it's an important book for our lives. Again, it leads us and guides us along the way. God is trying to teach you and I something here. When you start having some hard times, here's what I need you to do. Go to the book. Go to the book. Go to the book. The book that God has given to us. And here's the thing that you and I can understand. Not only did Job know how important these words were. He said they were just written. Now again, Job, they've been written. Job, they're in a book. But here's what he said in the next verse. I wish they were graven. I wish they were graven into a rock. Notice verse number 24. Are you still with me? Say amen. He said that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Oh, Job, I got some news for you. Somebody come and help me now. Job, Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Matthew 24 and 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Why is that important? Because God is saying every once in a while you're going to need a book that's going to get you through life. And understand something here. I am the Lord, and I change not. My word stands forever. Amen. You can't get rid of my word. And that's good for us. I need a comforter every once in a while. Every once in a while, the devil will tell you something like this. God ain't real. God doesn't care. Well, I got some news for you, old smutty faith. My God is real. My God does care. My God is right. My God is holy. My God is just. My God loves me. Yes, he does. Amen. Whew. Why is that so important? Because sometimes things hit my life, and I don't know where to go. Man, we sing the song, but I don't know if we sing songs sometimes. And I don't know if they really penetrate our heart. That song we sing, where could I go? Where could I go? Where could I go? Watch. But to the Lord, amen. Oh, I've tried my family. I've tried some friends. I've tried some folks who thought they knew what they were talking about. But I'm telling you something here. When they don't encourage me, when they can't lift me, when they can't help me, I tell you where I go. I go to the Lord. He's my rock. He's my shelter. He's my storm. He's my refuge. God is everything that I need. You'll find out. Job had some problems in his life, but he knew where to go to get them solved. He knew where to go. He knew that God, my Redeemer, liveth. Now, Ken, I need you to understand something. All throughout this book, he's going back and forth. He's struggling. But I'm so glad right here, he said, I got something that I stand on. He said, I'm standing on the rock. The old song they sing, it said, sometime I shook on the rock, but the rock never shook under me. Praise God. Aren't you glad? Oh, thank you, God. Aren't you glad we're standing on the solid rock? Here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to help us. By the way, if he got the help he need, I think we can find the help we need here. What happened in your life, Job? I'll tell you what happened. My fortune is gone. Everything, my lifestyle, my fortune is disappeared. It's been taken like that. Right now in this world today, you got people who, of course, haven't done things like invested in the stock market. Can I help you with something here? If you don't want to go broke in the stock market, do like me. Stay broke so you can't go in the stock market. I found out how not to go broke in the stock market. Stay broke, you can't go in the stock market. But people's 401ks. Life savings being spent. He said, dear God, what has happened? What has happened? I tell you what God is saying to us. I need you to know, don't depend upon that. Amen. Depend upon the Redeemer that liveth. His fortune is gone. You need to understand something. his family is dying. They're dead. He's got a wife who is criticizing him for loving on God. Why don't you just curse God and die? You know what it's like when you try to live for Jesus and somebody in your family criticizes you for it? You may not know, but I know what it's like. I know what it's like, brother, to go to a family reunion and have to sit in the corner because everybody else is of another type of some type of religion, and they don't love God, don't care about God. You may not have grown. See, you grew up an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Christ, was all a Baptist. I did too, but not in my family didn't. And so sometimes when I go to like a family reunion, I'm sometimes in a corner. I take my family, my wife, my kids, and my grandkids. So I got to leave somebody I can share a good time with. But sometimes you got family don't understand. Here you are in church today. And he started talking about tithes and offerings. And somebody said, yeah, right. Your family criticizing you. Yesterday, my wife and I were. Well, Friday. I said yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday, so it was Friday. We had a funeral. We had a funeral of somebody who loved the Lord. Every time you went around them, they were talking about Jesus, trying to lead somebody to Christ. And people say stuff like this, and look what God did. He left you alone. See, some of you try to give it all you got, and then you go to a doctor's visit. And they say you got stage 4 cancer. Some of you have to go to the doctor like I had to. And they tell you this is wrong and that is wrong and that's wrong. Sometimes I go to the doctor and say, it can't be anything else can go wrong, is it? And you know, some of you feel that way. You feel that way when you walk out of the doctor. Hey, by the way, Job said that was me. Devil started beating me up in my flesh. Again, my family is forsaking me. My dad and my fortune is all gone. And my friends, they're physicians of no value. They're not worth a dime. Now, some of you don't know what that means. I'm sorry, because I'm still from the old ways saying stuff sometimes. You ain't worth a dime. And that's what he was with his friends. Job gets over here to Job 19. You know what he says? I know. All this is going on. I know. What? What you know, Job? My Redeemer liveth. Amen. So let me just kind of help you with something to get through your hard times, to get through your struggles in life. Let me just kind of help you a little bit. As a matter of fact, we were talking to the young people. And today, my whole thought was, I want you to remember some stuff. I want you not to forget something. And I told the young people, I don't want you to forget about the mercy and the grace of God. Today, I don't want you to forget this, that you're a redeemer. If you are saved, live it. And if you are not saved, understand this here. The redeemer is waiting on you, and he can become your redeemer, and he lives. And he lives on and on and on and on. So what's the first thing you got to get down right? Number one, write this down. Or just remember it. Can you remember? She looked at me like, what'd I do? You want to know what you did? You sat on the front row. She probably said, I never do that again when he comes. He said, I know my Redeemer. I know it. So here's the thing about it. If you're going to make it through your hard times, you got to know for yourself. You know, there's a verse in the Bible, and many of us, of course, we read it, but I don't know if we accept it. The Bible says here, for we know that all things work together for good. And God says, you don't really believe that, do you? You know all things work together for good? Yes. I know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. In order to know that, please understand this here, you got to know him. You got to know him. And I'm telling you something here, the reason why a lot of times people don't make it through life and don't get to the point where they get to the end of their struggles and stuff and come out on the winning side is because we don't know him. So we don't know, again, about his greatness. We've forgotten about what God was able to do. God was able to say, hey, let there be light. And there was light. We didn't understand when he said, hey, why don't we have some waters come up between the dry land. And there it go, right there. So we got water and dry land and stream, and we got mountain, and we got animals, and we got a man that he breathed into his nostril, and he became a living soul. We forgot the greatness of God. Amen. Hey, Job was going through. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. You got to know him. I mean, you got to know, by the way, you got to know him, that he's still there with you when times get hard. He never leaves us nor forsake us. Can I ask you a question? What do you know about him? Do you know his greatness? I know his greatness. I know his power. I know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I know it. How do you know that, preacher? Because I got a boy. 2 pounds and 12 ounces, sorry about that. 2 pounds and 12 ounces that was born. 6 months, 3 months early. I got a boy that when they said, the doctors looked at my wife and said, he's not going to make it through the night. I got a boy when I went to that hospital chapel and I got down on my knees and I just tell God he had to do something, but God, thy will be done. And I got a boy that's no longer 2 pounds and 12 ounces. He might be 212 pounds right about now. He's got a wife and he's got 4 boys. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, I know about the greatness of God. God can do it when others say it can't be done. My God can do impossible. Amen. God says, but you got to know me. So can I help you? You're going through something now, but some of you have gone through something in the past. And God is saying, you need to remember that. Remember, I know. You know what? You're redeemed. Yeah, I know he's great. And I know he's good. You know what Job told his wife? We receive good at the hand of God. God's been good to us. God has shown his grace in our lives. Now listen to me, let's not now, because times have gotten hard, let's not curse God now. Let's not give up on God now. Let's not take and slander God now. Let's not tell the world that the God we serve has been a fraud of faith and he's been a phony in my life. No, let's not give up on the God who's been good to me, amen. And of course, you're going to find out at the end, he's going to be good again. I really do, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I like the fact that God gave Job's wife 10 more children. I really do. She said, curse God and die, and God said, here go 10 more for you to deal with. Praise God. God is good, and he like a good laugh every once in a while too. Amen. But God is gracious. He said, I know my redeemer. I don't know if he's yours or not. In other words, he said he's personal to me. I said he's personal to me. He's personal. But he said this here. You ready? He didn't just say, I know. He said, let me tell you who I know. Who is that? My Redeemer. My Redeemer. Now, if you're not used to somebody walking around, I could stand up in the middle on a pew and then stand there. But I'm sorry. Sometimes when you make me stand behind that pulpit, Mike, I don't move. But when you give me one of these, I'm on the run. Amen. He says, I know my Redeemer. Oh, I wish I had time to labor this thing. But boy, I'm on shouting ground right now. I wish you'd have grew up where I grew up at. It wasn't any problem to praise the Lord. It wasn't any problem for old mama to say, look at what the Lord has done for me. What did he do for you, mama? He picked me up out the miry clay. He set my feet up on that rock. He established my going. What did he do, mama? He put a song in my mouth. Now, let me just explain what that really means. He's my Redeemer. My Redeemer. See, we sing a redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the. You sing that, right? God says, but do you understand? Listen to me now. Listen to me now. For us, we should understand a little bit better. What should we understand? Listen, I don't just know him. I know him as my Redeemer. Wait a minute. He's not just a Redeemer. According to Ruth, he's my kinsman redeemer. He's my kinsman redeemer. See, in order to have a kinsman redeemer, you got, oh boy, this is good stuff. This shouting ground, like I said now. In order to have a kinsman redeemer, there's some things that are necessary. In order to have a kinsman redeemer, he's got to be worthy. Just can't be anybody. He's got to be worthy. And not only does he have to be worthy, can I help you a little bit? He's got to be wealthy. Some of us are already gone. He's got to be wealthy. And by the way, when I get down to it, you'll find out all of us are broke. Not only does he have to be, listen to me, worthy, and not only does he have to be wealthy, but he's got to also be willing. Because when you get over to the book of Ruth, you'll find out that Ruth, of course, and Naomi have now come back, and they need somebody to redeem them, somebody to buy them. In other words, there's got to be somebody who understands that there's a payment, and then there's a price, and there's a purchaser who needs to be purchased, who needs to make a purchase. There's got to be somebody who's willing to do all of that. And so Ruth goes back, and of course, Ruth finds Boaz. Aren't you glad for the Boaz? Amen, somebody. Thank God for Boaz. God, Boaz finally meets up with Ruth, and he says, I'm going to buy you. Amen. Listen to me, I'm going to buy you. But wait a minute, there's somebody who I have to give opportunity to first. So he meets at the gate, and he says, okay, Naomi's back. This ought to cause, I'm telling you, this ought to cause you to shout right here. Naomi's back, and guess what? Let me kind of put it in Robinson terms. She broke. And we need to take her in. And the guy says, okay. And then he says this. Well, not only is Naomi back, but there's this gal named Ruth, the Moabite. Not the Israelite, the Moabite. And if you're going to buy Naomi, you got to take the whole load. And the guy that was above Boaz, he says, nah, you don't mess up my heritage. Nah, I ain't willing to pay for that. Nah, she's all yours. Are you with me? And so Boaz says, okay, I'll do it. Now watch this. She's got to be worthy. In order to buy Naomi and to buy Ruth, it's got to be somebody in the family. You don't hear me, do you? It got to be somebody in the family. That's why my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations, and he stepped off in a little city called Bethlehem, put on the robe of flesh, and he became one of us. In other words, in order to buy back, you got to be in the family. But he didn't just come through the family that way, but he was in the line of Abraham, the line of David. He was, according to the genealogy, the Son of God. Amen. Got to be worthy, and he's got to be wealthy. You want to know why all of us are broke? Because all have, but he knew no sin. He had no sin. He was without sin. He could not sin. He didn't want to sin. He had enough in his bank account to pay for any of our sin. Somebody say amen. And he had to be willing. See, that other guy said, nah. Jesus Christ set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He knew when he got here, the Bible says, let me back up here. He said, I must be about my Father's business. And when it came time to be crucified, of course, he went straight to Jerusalem. When he got up on the cross, the Bible says this. Some said, come down. He says, no, I ain't coming down. Matter of fact, Father, forgive them. They know not what, come on, help me somebody, what they do. Aren't you glad that our Savior was willing to go all the way through the cross, through the shame, through the suffering, through the scourging, through the spitting, through the slapping, through all of the things that he had to go through so you and I could be saved. Whew. That's a redeemer for you. And I look at some of us in here, I mean, good Christians, and I'd say, could you take a beating for me? I can hear you now. Nah! My granddaughter asked her brother one time when they were in trouble. She said to her brother, she said, Mama gonna get us. Could you take my whipping? You know what he said? Nah! I ain't taking your whipping. You're gonna take your own whipping. But not Jesus. Jesus took my whipping. Jesus took my cross. Jesus took my suffering. Wait a minute, it even gets better. Here's what he's trying to tell you. See, the devil wants you to forget about your Redeemer. I know him. I know what he's done. He's not just the Redeemer. He's the kinsman Redeemer. And I think the Bible said he's going to stand upon the earth in the latter days. You know what that means? We pray it, thy kingdom come. Guess what? It's a coming. It's a coming, somebody. Amen. It's a coming. Here's what I'm trying to tell you is this. Is that you may not get out of Stephen still got stoned to death. But my Bible says that when he started going toward glory, Jesus stood up and welcomed him on in. Hey, trouble don't last always. Aren't you glad weeping and do for a night? But joy, I said joy, I said joy, I said joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Praise God. That's what we did in the black church. All I'm trying to tell you is this. You may be going through, but sooner or later, I'm not prosperous preaching. I'm just trying to help you understand. Your change is going to come. Why? Because my Redeemer, what? Liveth. He liveth. He sees what you're going through. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Not just looking at the bad stuff, but it says the good as well as the evil. And God knows. Matter of fact, I wish I had time to take you back over to chapter 16. And God knows, the Bible said, around verse 19. Why? Because he's your witness and he got your record on high. He knows if you've been living for him. And so don't worry about what the world says. Job's friends, can I say it this way? Hush up. There's a God in heaven who knows me, and I'm glad I know him. If you're going through something right now, can I help you? Can I really help you? I need you to do something. Keep walking by faith. Keep walking by faith. Keep believing that God is able. Keep turning to the Lord when it looks like he's not even there. You say, preacher, I'm trying to find him. I know it. Turn to what the Bible says to do. Live the way the Bible says to live. Act the way the Bible says to act. Because that's all Job could do. And that's all any of us can do. Listen to me. The devil is trying to do his best to get us to say, it's just not worth it. And if you don't think it's worth it, that's because you haven't read the Bible. Job 42 shows you it's totally worth it. And if nothing else, I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to walk some streets of gold. I'm going to sit inside of a mansion. I'm going to sit next to him on his throne. And I want to hear him say these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Preacher, what do you have for us today? Your fortune might be gone. Your health might be gone.